Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to Irreverent Testimony, the live stream. It is Saturday night, February 20th, 2016. So tonight, we had the Democratic Nevada caucuses and the South Carolina Republican primaries. We got a lot of news, lots to catch you up on. First things first, let's back up, Rachel, and recap what happened on the Democratic side earlier
today.
Yeah,
so I didn't get a chance to watch all these things, but I got constant updates. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton won.
She won.
Fairly handily. It wasn't like she didn't sweep or anything, but she won by,
about
5-6 points, which we weren't sure that was going to happen. We were pretty sure that Bernie was going to take it. So that was great for me.
and for Hillary.
And for Hillary, for sure. And not good for Bernie. His momentum is not good now.
We talked about this on the podcast last night. He needed to win tonight. And I know the Bernie supporters are not going to agree with that. The Bernie campaign, their initial spin was, hey, look, we were, the last time this was polled, we were down 40. So we proved we could come back and we can do appeal to a diverse population. And so that's nice spin. I mean, you know, he's not going anywhere. His supporters aren't going to bail. But the problem is when you're looking ahead to Super Tuesday – well, just when you're looking ahead to South Carolina, which is just in 8 days now, right?
Yeah.
When you're looking ahead to South Carolina, it looks like Hillary's going to clean up there. The polls just aren't moving in his favor.
Yeah.
She's still holding commanding leads down there, 20 or more points. And then you get into Super Tuesday, and in almost every state, not only is she leading, but she's leading big. And these are polls by a good reputable firm that just came out a couple days ago. So.
Yeah. Now, he has been closing some of those gaps, but in this case, he didn't. And from everything that we know about South Carolina, he's certainly not going to there. So she's going to win handily, which makes it that out of the first four primaries and caucuses, he's won one.
Yeah. For a friend out there, Molly, if you're watching this, if you just want to shoot us a text and let us know if the video and the audio is working.
That'd be great.
And there, of course, if she can't hear us, then, well, she might just text us that she can't hear us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
so there's that. The next big news on the Republican side, we're still watching some of the results trickle in, but the big news is, first things first, you want to talk about what's up there on that red bar?
So, South Carolina had their primary, and Donald Trump won handily. He won 33%. This is with 93% in. In second place, it's literally a tie between Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. Right now, they've got Rubio ahead by just a few
percentage points.
Yeah, votes.
I'm looking at the map there. It's going to be razor thin, but I think Rubio is going to hold on by like 1,000 votes or so.
Yeah, so
he'll declare victory, and the press will declare victory because they heart them some Rubio.
And he just did.
And he just did.
Give a concession speech in which he had this
he declared victory.
21st century America, we're going to work for you. If you're,
I'm Ronald Reagan, the second coming. All
At some point, he's going to actually have to win something to claim victory.
You would think,
but not today. Cruz hasn't spoken yet. We're waiting for that. But I think he'll also claim victory since they're tied and it's too close to call.
I don't know. He'll claim he's a pony. I don't know what he'll claim.
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about the Bernie concession speech and the Molly.
The Molly concession speech?
I was just wondering if that's who you got to text them. No, the Hillary concession speech, please.
Hillary's concession speech was pretty good. It was pretty energetic.
Victory speech.
You know, I'm not going to run through the obvious stuff, thanking her supporters and blah, 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 but she definitely made an appeal to African Americans. She made an appeal to Latinos. She made an appeal to young voters, especially. She really kind of went out of her way to say, hey, you guys can roll with me. She needs them.
Yeah.
And she did, you know, take a couple more shots at Bernie and nothing crazy there she hasn't done before. And it was, you know, it was about what you'd expect. Bernie's concession speech seemed a little discombobulated, even for Bernie. I think they really, really, really wanted and needed to win this one.
Yeah. They did. And they didn't manage to do that, so...
I mean, it's not like he gave a terrible concession speech or made a huge mistake or anything. It was just kind of like a little disjointed feeling. I don't know.
Okay. And then what about Trump? Has he spoken yet?
He did. I didn't catch all of it because the MSNBC stream is choppy, so...
Yeah, lots of folks watching.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back, I guess, and catch the lowlights of the Trump speech. Right now, Cruz is showing his very punchable face.
He is. Okay, so the biggest news of the night, really.
The biggest news, well, I don't know if it's the biggest news of the night, but it's newsworthy, is yeah. that Jeb is dropping out.
Dropped out.
He's setting that exclamation mark free.
He is. Lindsey Graham came up and gave this very heartwarming, I guess, I don't know, speech to introduce him, saying that they're lifelong friends, and introduced Bush, and then he came out and said, "See ya. I'm so lucky to be able to go home and sleep with my wife." Yep.
Yes, that is exactly what he said. He did like, what's the guy's name? At the end of Clue, when the guy goes, "I'm going to go home and have sex with my wife."
Yeah. Yeah. Colonel, the guy that everyone assumed was gay the whole time.
Right. Right. And I can't remember the actor's name now, even though he's one of my favorites, but.
Anyway. He did that. So Bush is out. He's gone. And he hasn't endorsed anyone else.
No, no. He didn't endorse anybody. He took some very veiled shots at Trump, but not anything even newsworthy.
Yeah.
He was just very magnanimous, which is Jeb's way.
Yeah.
And Jeb's out. And there was a rumor that, Trump sent out like a rub your face in it tweet right after, but I couldn't find it. He may have taken it down. So who cares? But, you know, that would be very Trump-like, of course. For him to do that, but
yeah, but then I feel like his staffers would be like, "Knock it off! You're already harassed."
Yeah, he doesn't know when to quit. We know that. But Trump is not only won, but he's going to win big. He's going to carry this by, it looks like, 13 points was the last 12-13 points.
So he's not going anywhere.
No. So how about this? Okay, we have in the last week. We've insulted the legacy of George W. Bush, called George W. Bush a liar, and that he did not keep us safe, and basically is sort of at fault for September 11th, and then lied us into the Iraq War.
Yes.
He has insulted the Pope, called the Pope disgraceful.
Correct.
what else? What am I missing?
He thought that there was this gross internet email chain thing that was being sent around about this fictitious event that supposedly happened back in the day. Oh, dipping the
Muslims
About this general dipping bullets in pig's blood and shooting a bunch of Muslims. Yeah. And Trump thought, that's a great idea. We should do that.
Well, he said that yesterday. No, see, that wouldn't necessarily affect him with South Carolina Republicans. I'm just saying, on the whole, for a Republican to insult the Pope and George W. Bush's legacy and then run away with it in South Carolina is a little jaw-dropping.
Oh, the other thing was affordable health care. At his town hall on Thursday night, I read, because I didn't watch it like we talked about last night.
Molly says she can see and hear us better.
Oh, hi, Molly. That he was supportive of the individual mandate of Obamacare.
Right, which is the main thing they used to try to get us struck down.
That he did not want to people to die in the streets for lack of health care. And so after subsidies and health insurance plans and things like that, if people can't afford it, then we should expand Medicare and Medicaid.
Which is exactly what Obamacare does.
Which is exactly what Obamacare does.
Which is what all the Republican governors are fighting against to their own peril. And then certain ones like Kasich like realize they have to do it to keep their budgets balanced. And or let people die in the street.
Right.
Which isn't very politically popular.
But I mean, for a Republican who's the front runner, I mean, sure, he yells about Muslims and he hates black people and he, you know, Mexicans are rapists. But he also thinks George W. Bush lied and got us into Iraq, was partially responsible for 9/11, and Obamacare is great.
Yeah. So it looks like Rubio's going to hold on to second place with 23%. And it looks like Trump's win will be by 10. Still pretty significant.
But Cruz has 22 at this moment.
Cruz has 22, Rubio has 23, Trump has 33%.
So, I mean, Cruz and Rubio are within
They're essentially tied, yeah.
Yeah.
But, of course, they'll both claim victory, essentially. Because what they're assuming is Trump's not a real candidate, he's not going to exist, so what really matters is who else is left, right?
Yeah, exactly. And with someone like Bush dropping out, does his support go to Rubio?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and his money will too, his donors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Even if Jeb doesn't, you know, explicitly endorse him, which... They've been, you know, they're going to have some hard feelings after this one, which they must have known going into the campaign. We're going to have to go after each other because, you know, Bush was Rubio's mentor in a lot of ways. So,
yeah,
they had to sort of attack each other. But naturally, I mean, if you're a Bush supporter, who are you going to go for? Carson?
No.
Definitely not Trump.
Not Cruz.
Probably not Cruz.
What I thought was interesting is that the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, endorsed Rubio, but mm-hmm. her lieutenant governor endorsed Trump.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's up for re-election, too.
Yeah. He said that they don't really discuss it, him and Nikki Haley.
Obviously.
Because she's doing a tremendous job with the economy, blah, blah, blah. But he said, you know, when people really start to listen to the substance of what fucking Donald Trump says, they'll vote for him. I feel like that's the wrong... So, if you listen to it, there is no substance, and maybe you're less likely to vote for him, but that's not what the lieutenant governor of South Carolina thinks. So.
Okay, so... Ramifications of this. Trump, you know, there were a lot of people even still saying, if Trump loses this, like they were saying in New Hampshire, it's like, Trump is for real.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that
He's
anymore.
He's not the fake candidate that we were sort of imagining that he was for a long time, or that we thought, okay, people think it's fun, but they're not actually going to vote for him. No, they are actually going to vote for
him. No, yeah, they're going to show up and vote for him.
It's only at least 33%.
In the primaries. At least in the primaries.
Right? It's still, he never has gotten over that, like, 33-35% of Republican primary
no,
voters.
No, because there's still six guys in the race, technically.
I know. I just think those are loyal Trump supporters.
Carson at least told his supporters he's not dropping out.
No, this is just the beginning.
This is just the beginning, which I don't know what that means.
Yeah, he gave an interview yesterday also that said, no, it's fine. Once you get past Super Tuesday, then people will start paying attention and vote for me.
Of course, he won't have any delegates. But...
And Super Tuesdays, you need people to pay attention to you before that so that you can get voters, not after.
That's Ben Carson logic for you.
Well, he understands politics so well.
Right.
He's just such a professional politician.
Okay, so what's next? On the 28th, I think this flips, right? We have South Carolina Democratic primary and a Nevada Republican caucus.
So it's not the same day. I think that's what we were getting hung up on.
Okay, so the 23rd let me
check. Hold on.
So Rachel's going to go check over at the office, the research office, which doubles as a kitchen. Right now, there's some wonderful blueberry muffins that Rachel made. Aww. And so we're going to see what happens there, but we're going to get into Super Tuesday in a hot second because that's really, really important. And I think I don't want to say it's going to be decisive, but in the way things are looking now, it's going to bring some clarity to some things, I think. I mean, the assumption still is that Trump is going to fade.
Okay,
what do you got, Rachel? Okay. Rachel, here's what I got. Our crack research team consisting of Rachel.
Here's what I have. February 23rd is the Nevada Republican caucus.
Wow, so they got to turn right around.
Yeah. And then we have till the 27th for the South Carolina Democratic primary. So we're just going to switch it, but it's not going to be on the same day. So 23rd will be the Republicans doing what we just did in Nevada. And then 27th
well, I think
is
they do
the
secret
South
ballot
Carolinians.
Thing,
I think
like,
they do, too.
Like
they have a different way of doing caucusing in the Republican Party, at least in Colorado and Iowa. But who knows? I don't know about Nevada.
The word is that a lot of the caucuses were kind of a cluster in Nevada.
Yeah, talk about that.
Well, just in sort of keeping an eye on it today, there were really long lines. Some people had to leave. There was some confusion.
Because people can register the same day, like we talked about. So they were, like, running out of registration forms.
Yeah,
and
just the whole caucus procedure is very convoluted and strange. And
it's obnoxious.
It's interesting, but, we're going to be doing one here coming up in just 10 days or so.
Yep, March 1st.
But it's... Is it Democratic? I mean, kind of ish, but primary again. We've explained this many times. If you're new, primary, you show up and vote just like a regular election.
Yep.
You show up, you cast your ballot, and that's it. You don't. No one's talking to you, yelling at you. You're
it's
not
a secret
joining
ballot.
A group. There's nothing like that. You go into the booth and you place your vote.
Yes. And it takes 5 minutes.
The caucus is a whole ordeal. You walk into a room, you join different camps, then they pare it down, and people make speeches and
try to convince you to move over to their team because their candidate's better.
And in Nevada, once you finally decide, then it's sort of counted up like a primary, sort of ish, but not really.
There's a 15% threshold. There's all kinds of
rules. It's convoluted.
There's
math. Then you count up the number of ballots from the caucusite and award a proportional number of county delegates, which then go into the pot to decide how many state delegates are allocated.
And there's also superdelegates.
And why? Well, I'm not even getting into superdelegates because they don't really have much to do with the caucus. They do what they do regardless.
Well, and we'll talk about it at some point.
I will talk about it at some point. But the whole point is, why are you doing all this crap when you can just have everybody just show up and vote?
Right.
And count the votes.
And like we talked about before, the old-timey kind of reason for the caucuses is really outdated and not really, necessary anymore.
Really outdated. The old-timey point of the caucuses is because we don't have MSNBC and CNN and Fox and Twitter and TV and newspapers. Well, we had newspapers, but...
The internet.
Generally, you showed up to the caucus to decide who am I going to vote for.
And if there was a debate, it was the 100 people that went
and then word of mouth
to
see it,
and then they would talk about what happened. And so you go to the caucus to be like, hey, neighbor, who, by the way, shares some of my very similar interests because we're all farmers and so we care about these similar issues.
Yeah.
What do you think? You saw the debate. I didn't. How about this guy? What's he going to do for our farm, or what's he going to do for our sewage problem, or whatever it is?
Well, Jim Bob Axelrod, who's running for county commissioner, I really like his handlebar mustache or whatever.
Right, and he cares about these issues that are important to this community, which is where we're voting. So then you're like, okay, that sounds good. And then this other guy's maybe like, I don't know, what about, you know, Shirley? Well, not that there were women.
The way we're doing it in 2016, it makes as much sense to, like, be driving around in a horseless carriage, you know? I mean...
Yeah, horse and carriage. Yes.
A horse and horse and buggy, or a horseless carriage, like I'm thinking the Ford Model T10.
Gotcha. Whatever. It makes no sense. It's a really outdated system.
It's horribly outdated.
It's almost like we do it just because it's tradition, which I think is a terrible reason to do anything.
No, well, they did have... See, to change... And this doesn't make sense to me, but somebody from the party, the Nevada Democratic Party, was on, and he said it still has to get approved... by the full House, and the Republicans wouldn't let them. I don't know, but I don't buy that.
That doesn't make any sense, because when you are in a caucus state, that's run by the party, not the state government.
Right.
So
I didn't pay too much attention to it.
So the parties are the people that get to decide whether to keep it. I get Iowa. That's kind of their Jimmy Jam, you know. That's kind of their like identity.
But they
identity.
Could do a primary too, though. They don't have to do a. They could still go first and do a primary.
Yeah, but I don't think they want to. I think they like it. But Colorado, I have no connection to a caucus system. I don't care at all. I'd rather do a primary.
Well, I'm new here, so how long have they been doing caucuses here?
Forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another old-timey thing.
Yeah. It's not new. We've been as long as I
don't want to say I'm excited about it, but I'm curious. I've never caucused
before. Oh, me too.
We don't caucus in Florida, and they don't caucus in Texas.
Yeah.
So this is brand new. I mean, I've just known vaguely about it, and I'm going to go do it for the first time. And knowing me and my big mouth, I'll probably be doing way more talking than listening, if they allow me to. So, again, I'll be caucusing for Bernie, and...
I'll be caucusing for Hillary.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's...
That's where it goes.
Look, well, it won't be futile in Colorado. I think that's going to be really close in Colorado.
It could be, yeah.
That's just my gut feeling.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I think Bernie will clean up in Denver and Boulder. But Pueblo, I think she'll do really, really well there.
The Springs, I think there's like 12 Democratic voters, so...
There's enough, but there's some African-Americans down in the Springs, right?
Yeah, there's also the Air Force Base down there, and it's the evangelical capital of the country. So.
Well, whoever does show up and vote Democrat, and this is a closed caucus.
It is, so you have to be registered before the caucus, like, and I think it's a couple weeks before, of the party that you want to... caucus.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
you can't be an independent and caucus.
Nevada,
you have to be registered as a Democrat or a Republican.
Nevada was an open caucus. They were a little worried about shenanigans, but it doesn't seem like that really happened.
No. It never does. It takes a lot of time.
And yeah, yeah.
People don't care that much, and it's illegal in a
tremendous it's illegal. You're totally risking a felony to sneak in one more vote.
Yeah.
Like, if you were able to get 100 people, I guess, to do it, it might make a difference, but that would cost a lot of money.
But you'd have to be really sure that the person that you were choosing to caucus for or against, in order to get your other party to win, that would matter.
Well,
in
that's
the county,
just that's
that
just
that would matter
as,
in the
just,
state, that they would know that that person would not do as well against whoever your guy is. I mean, it's really a long shot for a felony.
Well, right, and it's just as stupid, but you still risk it, at least being arrested and having to go through that process.
Exactly, it's really stupid.
It's doubly as stupid to have all these onerous voter ID laws that are under the guise of preventing this sort of thing from happening.
Right.
When if I wanted to do that, if I was going to caucus at 7 at one place and then run across town at 7:30 and try to caucus somewhere else, assuming I was able to sneak through somehow and commit fraud, and if I had a special ID, I couldn't do that. I mean, I guess it's a little different in the caucus. It's more geared towards general election stuff, but even these crazy voter ID laws are affecting some of these primaries and caucuses now.
Yeah.
Like North Carolina, they don't even know what's going to happen. They've had so many screwy, crazy voter suppression laws that have gone back and forth through the courts, getting shot down and then So they're not even sure, and they're going in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So
are they on Super Tuesday? I don't remember.
No, I think they're a little later.
Okay. Yeah, so it'll be really interesting. Like we said, we will be caucusing here in Colorado, and Pierre is going to help us out. Is that right?
Maybe. He's committed to that.
Thanks, Pierre.
We have to figure out the logistics. What we want to do is have him do kind of what we're doing for Mission Control, and then have us Skype in from where we're caucusing. I don't know the rules on that. Against that, I'm sure we can, like, when we arrive or when we have a break, and just sort of give it the lay of the land and give our feedback, just to give you sort of a live idea of what the caucus is like.
What it feels like, what it looks like, how it's going, how long it takes.
How it smells, how it tastes.
Hopefully it's fine. Mine's going to be in a library, so I feel pretty good about that.
Mine's going to be like a high school gym.
Ah, like, well, that might be
right unpleasant. Around here.
So you spent lots of time in high school gyms, so.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, you played sports in high school?
Oh, okay.
Did you not?
I thought you were going to say, like, locker rooms or something. I'm like,
okay. No. Anyway, so we missed Ted Cruz's little speech there.
He's still going.
Yeah, he is.
He's been going for, like, 20 minutes now, so. Yeah,
we'll get a little recap of it and give it back to you guys.
Yeah, because I know you can't wait. I wanted to see Carson's speech, because those are always interesting. Different, you could say.
Yeah.
And just to show you how screwy the whole caucus thing is, the Democrats caucused much earlier in the day, and the caucusing
was
done.
10 a.m. or something?
The caucusing was done by 5 local time, or 3 local time, sometime really early. And here, they're still counting votes.
Well, this is a primary.
Well, no, I'm saying, look, on the Democratic side, it's still only 89% of the vote counted.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
And then they're pretty much done on the Republican side because it's a primary.
Yep.
So you just count
votes. Just count votes. The votes. That's it.
So, I mean, why do you put yourself through this? Caucus states, why? Anyway, it looks like Hillary's going to win by 6 points, which is not nothing.
Yep. Especially because we thought Bernie might win.
We thought he might, but it's a win, and it really just, it kind of stops this narrative that we never really bought that, okay, it was close in Iowa, she lost New Hampshire, and now the whole campaign is unraveling, and she's going to fire her whole staff, and it's like, she didn't actually do any of that.
Nope. She won by 6 points in Nevada, and she's going to win by, like, double digits in South Carolina.
She's going to win by possibly close to 30 in South Carolina. There's just not a big base of support for Bernie there to work with. There are some college kids, but you know, you do have Clemson and the University of South Carolina and a few other places, but it's not a huge college state.
And Clyburn just endorsed her.
Clyburn endorsed her, so he's just not making the kind of headway with African Americans he needs to. I mean, he's making enough headway to, like, okay, yeah, you seem all right, Bernie, but it's not like we like you better than Hillary. It's just not happening.
Or we don't trust you more than her. We don't know you as well as her, yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, is what it is. I think that's going to be the case in most southern states, to be honest.
Yeah, it's what it looks like.
You know, like we talked about last night, in some of the Midwestern and Northeastern states.
Well, what is his appeal now that he hasn't had, or what is his message going to be now that he hasn't had or hasn't communicated in the last few weeks? Like, he's done a lot of work reaching out to the African-American community, talking to Black Lives Matter folks. He did the Killer Mike thing. He's talked to other leaders. He's gotten some endorsements.
Yep.
So it's like, What is the change in message? Like, is he going to try to be more pragmatic?
Well, I saw a picture today that his campaign released or leaked or whatever you want to call it, of him being arrested during the early 1960s or mid-1960s during a civil rights protest. It's a black and white photo of him being dragged off to jail. That it's that kind of stuff that he wants to put into the narrative. The problem that I see and the problem that I'm hearing from people that speak in the black community is, okay, that's fine. That was 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, we're getting dragged up. We're getting dragged off to jail.
Where have you been since you've been in the Senate for 30 years? Yeah. You're not a leader because there's not a lot of black people in Vermont, frankly.
There just isn't.
Yeah. And so they haven't seen him as a leader in black issues. And even though, he marched with Dr. King and, he was part of the civil rights protests, that's what you did then. What have you done since? I think that's the narrative he's going to have to fight against.
You know what? And, you know, people always accuse African-American voters of playing identity politics. Mm-hmm. But what's their excuse going to be now?
Yeah.
That they prefer Clinton.
Yep.
What is she? Is Breitbart going to say she's secretly black? I mean, you know what? Like, they're giving it careful consideration, is what they're doing.
Correct. Correct.
And
there's some things that they don't like about Clinton from the 90s. It was also the 90s. And since then, what has she done? And I think quite a bit.
And I think her message of pragmatism, because African-Americans have a right to be pretty damn cynical about government.
Yes.
And how government works. And here's Bernie Sanders with these very, very lofty goals. And I think a lot of African-Americans are like, hey, dude, that all sounds nice, but that's not realistic. Yep. Like, we need a politician who knows how to work it.
Yes.
And we know Hillary Clinton and her husband know how to work it.
Yep.
And we know, you know, she's not going to we're not so naive to think she's just going to pave the streets with gold for us or anybody else.
Because we've been promised a lot of things over a lot of years, and very few of them have ever come to fruition.
So, incremental change, pragmatic change, and knowing how to work within the confines, even though they hate the system just like we do.
Yes.
They're realistic enough to understand working within the system to slowly and incrementally change the system makes a lot more sense than I'm going to get to the White House and suddenly everybody's going to have free tuition and free health care because we really want it.
Which is sort of the, if we're going to just paint every group with a broad brush, which we sort of just did, it's the sort of what the millennials don't understand and do think.
Well, see, that, I'm not convinced of that either.
Is that I do. I think a lot of millennials are new to this process. I happen to be one, although barely.
You're not new to the process.
I'm not new to the process at all. No. But I think that some of these, you know, 17 going to be 18 by November, 19, 20-year-olds that have never really been a part of the political process look at Bernie Sanders and think, oh, my God, that's amazing. Let's do that, without really understanding, some of them at least.
I think they're a little more savvy than that and nuanced than that.
I hope so. Let us know. Tell me.
I mean, oh, no, some, no, I'm sure a good number of them that show up to the rallies and are thinking, I'm doing this because I want free education and free healthcare, and it'll happen if we
this guy's
vote
saying
him in. But another of them are more realistic and saying, okay, we might not get everything, but this is the kind of energy and really strong messaging we need to push forward our agenda.
Yes.
And that's a compelling point that, frankly, works more for me to the point where I'm supporting him.
No, same with Dana. He feels that same way, too. He also feels like Bernie's going to move the goalpost in a way that we're moving it to the left instead of trying to
these incremental changes. Well, I think he already has, right?
Make the goal universal health care or make the goal free education. And if we get to debt-free, that's great. But we tried for this, so we're moving the goalpost.
Well, Hillary's message is, well, that's just totally unrealistic. And go with me because I have a plan to get to the incremental place that I know we can get to.
Yes. And that speaks to me because I think that's probably what's actually true.
Well, so. it seems to be speaking to a lot of people, frankly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of where we are. And if these polls hold up, Super Tuesday is now, 10 days away exactly?
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
And if these polls hold up, come the evening of Super Tuesday, she's going to have a massive lead. And not necessarily an insurmountable lead, but at that point, if things play out the way I expect them to, I would take something like an indictment or a giant misstep or a health scare or something.
The only thing I would say about that is because our party does percentage
proportional
delegation, if they get close in every race, if they're 53 to 47 or 52 to 48 or whatever, they're going to basically split the delegates in half. And once we get close to the convention, I don't think either of them have 23, 28.
No, because if it's down the line and Hillary's been winning consistently 53, 47, she'll have enough of a cushion and the superdelegates that I don't think there'll be much drama at the convention at all. The only way that can turn around is if he starts making these states where he's trailing now much, much closer somehow, despite the fact that he just lost all the momentum. And then you go into some of these much bigger delegate-rich states like Michigan and New York and New Jersey, and he's got to win those. And he's really not leading in any big state right now that I know
of. What about
of.
California? We don't have any polling data, right?
We don't have polling data.
And it's in June.
It's in June, so, and Hillary's really, really popular in California.
Yeah, but I bet Bernie is, too.
I bet he is, too, but
we'll see.
You know, once again, people have vastly overrated Iowa and New Hampshire, and some people who know better have warned you not to overrate Iowa and New Hampshire. Everybody looks at them because they're the first two contests after
nothing for
4 years.
And like we talked about when we covered those two, it's important just because it's the first time after a year of talking about nobody really would vote for that person or would or wouldn't.
Yeah.
We would finally get some actual votes. But in terms of how that plays out for the rest of the country, it's almost meaningless.
Demographically, they're weird. Yes. They're just not representative. Nope. You know, you just can't glean all that much out of it.
Yep.
Especially in Bernie's case. He was next door neighbor at Vermont. They've known him for years and years and years. I mean, I was excited and I wanted to extrapolate to the larger map, but I kind of knew in the back of my mind that wasn't terribly realistic.
We even gave him some credit. We were like, maybe he'll win Nevada. Like, he looked like he was doing pretty well, and she just...
Well, he made it close.
Yeah, he did. He made it close. He did. I mean, there was some interesting stuff about the Culinary Union.
And Harry Reid making a late call.
And Harry Reid and some of the unions coming to her at the last minute, not necessarily as an endorsement, but as a sort of like, hey,
yeah,
hey,
so supposedly Harry Reid
go vote kind of a thing.
Made a late call to, and we're going to try to get one of those young union leaders on.
Yeah, she was amazing. She was on MSNBC last night, got the job at 23. She's 28 now. I would love to talk to her, so we're going to try to
see if we can get a hold of her. But apparently Harry Reid made a call just the last couple days, and he's like, look, I'm not endorsing anybody, but you got to get your people out to vote. And they know, obviously, he's part of the establishment, and the unions do have a long history with the Clintons, so all the union bosses and chiefs probably rallied most of their people, because they were talking about the early returns from, like, all the casinos and the big restaurants, and, like, they were all going overwhelmingly.
Those are all unions.
And they were all going big for Hillary early.
Which is really interesting, I think, if... I don't know what would have maybe changed this message, but considering Bernie's message of economic inequality and workers' rights and that kind of thing, I think it's a natural fit that unions would kind of go toward him.
Yeah.
And something got lost in the mix, whether it's just historically we know the Clintons, or whether
the ground game
wasn't
great
in Nevada or something, but somehow his message to unions, it didn't connect.
Well, let's be fair, because it's tough to poll Nevada, especially for a caucus, but you can still vote, you can still poll and find out people's preference as a snapshot. And about a month ago, you had Hillary leading by like 40 points. So he didn't lie about that. So he wasn't on the map, and now he got on the map to the point where he made it a tight race.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's less than what he needs.
Yeah.
Because
he really needed to win.
He needed to win.
Yeah.
And even had he won, you know, he still would have been in a world of crap come Super Tuesday. But now, you know, now the narrative, nobody can write a blog or a diary or a Politico hit piece next to the 85,000 Rubio is God articles that says the Clinton campaign is falling apart after winning.
Nope. They won. They're 6 points.
You could get away with that in Iowa because it was so close and it was a virtual tie, and the polls showed her leading a little bit. You could certainly double down on that after New Hampshire and Bernie won big, even though most people expected that. But now...
he was supposed to maybe win or close, and she made it out by 6 points. And when South Carolina happens, it's going to be New Hampshire reverse.
Yeah.
She's going to kill him in New Hampshire.
Yeah, I don't even think we're going to do a stream that night.
No, we'll just be like, yes. Yeah,
because we're really not expecting...
If something goes crazy, the world melts down, yeah. We'll let you know. But expect Hillary Clinton to win by 20, 25, 30 points.
Sure, sure. And then that's just leading in, and that's more momentum... Leading into more states.
Which is only a few days later. 4 days later.
Where she's got these big leads. The only places she doesn't is Oklahoma's tight. And...
what does it have, 5 delegates or something?
In Massachusetts, he's leading.
That makes sense. That's got a lot of delegates.
But he's not leading by a huge margin.
Yeah.
So...
I think Colorado's going to be close. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know how Colorado's going to go. I don't think they've... Did they pulled a semi recently?
No, we didn't have any recent polls when we looked yesterday. I mean, I went to a Bernie rally in Boulder, and it was... wonderful. It was hot and it was outside and there were bugs, but
he's gonna get all the Boulderites and he's gonna get all the young
huge crowd
Denverites, but
Fort Collins he'll win.
Fort Collins Boulder, he'll Denver, do well.
And those are the three biggest, other than Colorado Springs, population centers in the state. As far as rural voters go, most of them are Republicans, so we won't have
the
huge
ones that are Democrat
there.
will go for Hillary. Yep. And no, but Pueblo is pretty densely populated too. And that'll probably go strongly for Hillary.
Yeah.
And then some of the other southern places.
And if we do it by county, then that's
Grand Junction will probably go for Hillary.
Because our counties are really interestingly
placed.
And in the mountain communities, I think will go.
Well, maybe not.
I mean, if you're looking at like Summit County in general, I think Breckenridge would probably go Bernie. But I think somebody like Telluride, Vail,
those kind of areas are going to go for Hillary because
it's
they're
older, white
old,
people.
Rich, really, really wealthy white people. Most of them are probably going to vote Republican, to be honest.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, but you don't really worry about that because if the breakdown is like 70-30 Republican Democrat, you're still just counting Democrat votes.
Totally.
They show up.
Totally.
And they
but,
count.
I mean, those communities, and even people that work in service positions in those communities cannot afford to live in those communities, so they often live in surrounding counties or towns, so that I don't even know if they are counted in Summit County. So it'll be interesting, but we'll let you guys know. That's just our own local politics thing.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what happens here. I live in a more ethnically diverse part of town.
Yes.
So I'm real curious to see what that's all about. There's a lot of African-American, Hispanic folks, some Middle Eastern folks.
I have a lot of Hispanic people in Lakewood. Huge.
Not compared to here.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not in Belmar, but yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a huge section of Lakewood that is mostly signs are in Spanish and businesses are run that don't speak English and we have the best Mexican food in the world, I'm just saying.
Denver is very much overwhelmingly white, but
well, then Denver urban, there's a pretty significant African American population,
and here in Aurora, it's probably
the highest level.
So I'm gonna see how are they thinking?
It'll be amazing. And then Fort Collins and Boulder are completely Vanilla Valley.
Yeah.
There's some Asian Americans, some Hispanics, and almost no African Americans, at least in Fort Collins and Boulder. So it'll be interesting to see how that breaks down.
So I think that's gonna about wrap it up for us, unless there's anything you wanted to touch on. So just to recap. Hillary wins the Democratic caucus in Nevada by about 6 points. That's not good news for Bernie. I don't know. I mean, I'm one of these people that I'm a Bernie supporter and I want him to win and I'm caucusing for him and I'm supporting him. But Hillary is a fine second choice as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to say most, but there's a good chunk of rabid Bernie supporters out there that do not feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it, but about getting their heads right, we'll worry about that, you know.
Yep, and I will absolutely vote for Bernie, of course, if he wins the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's not over. I'm not trying to say it's over, but no.
He's made tremendous gains in the polls, so you just never know.
They're showing a screenshot of an anti-Trump robocall, gay and lesbian, something lesbian, from more forward to... I'm a lesbian. We've had some great progress throughout the gay and lesbian
community. This is an anti-Trump robocall in South Carolina. Woman's voice. I'm a lesbian. We've had some great progress through the gay and lesbian community. Oh, it's gone. Basically...
It's a robocall that says Trump doesn't hate gay people.
That he's doing a lot for the LGBT community in South Carolina. And he says, well, you can. That's your thing. And other people have their thing. We have to bring all people together.
What does she mean by forward motion? Oh, it's a Ted Cruz thing.
Forcing clergy to officiate. It's about transgender bathrooms in your child's school, tearing down our Judeo-Christian values, and tearing down our America.
Oh, Trump is going to have
Ted
kittens
Cruz
over
president
this one.
Now before it's too late.
Trump is going to have a
Because
litter.
It's about the fucking bathrooms every time.
It's about the bathrooms. The transgender, somebody's going to molest your kid in the bathroom, but by all means, let him go on a weekend sabbatical with the priest.
With the, yes, youth pastor.
Anyway. Well, that went a long way, didn't it? That really helped.
God.
Nope.
No, he got third. Ha ha. Anyway, yeah, I think we're going to sign off for now. If you guys have questions, comments, email us. Hit us
Irreverent Testimony at gmail.com. We're going to also set up an email list to let you know like when we're podcasting live, and we may working on maybe getting some t-shirts and goodies. We're still in talks for the syndication thing, so stay tuned
and
for that.
And we're going to start probably a blog,
We're going to have to,
daily blog. So, stay tuned for all that information. But in the meantime, if you have questions, comments, concerns, hate mail, love letters, send them to irreverenttestimony@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @irreverentduo. Or Facebook, just Google Facebook Irreverent Testimony. You can find us.
Okay.
We good?
Good night, everybody.
Good night. On the mic.
you thought you could get with them. All right, to fill your mind, thoughts, battles, fought, lessons taught. Yes, others play the fitness, then fit like a gymnast. Raise my fist and resist, sleep though we stand in the midst of a war. Gotta get by, gotta get warm, keeping the mic warm against the door. Cause what does it offer me? I think often is nothing but a coffin. Gotta get wrecked till I next never swing on a rope from here to the cape of no.